today's episode of the Brains Pipe Back podcast, we speak with Sean Whitley, Vice President of Sales Americas at Mitto, a leading provider of global omni-channel communication solutions supporting business growth with advanced customer engagement technology. From this episode, you'll learn why active listening is vital in order for sales success and how it can give you ammunition to sharpen your value proposition. Sean also talks about the podcast that he co-hosts and co-created, The Two Sales Guys, and how the often overlooked dark side of sales on mental health served as a driving force to create the podcast. And additionally, he shares advice for listeners who are considering starting their own podcast.
I'm Sean Whitley. I'm currently the Vice President of Sales for the Americas at Mitto. Mitto is a global communications omnichannel provider. What that means essentially is we help brands engage with their customers through all of the popular mobile channels. We offer SMS, all the chat apps like WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, Viber, voice channel, et cetera. The idea is really just to help brands engage with their customers through all of the channels that they're already utilizing today. We have a couple different ways that we do that. You can get really technical with our you know, build your own dreams solutions, as well as our pre-built solutions like our conversations tool and campaign manager. You know, really at the end of the day, we've just seen such a tremendous adoption of the channels from the consumer side and seeing brands really capitalize on that demand. And we're trying to be that player that ultimately helps them achieve that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And today we are going to be discussing AI in omnichannel strategies. And I know you kind of alluded to it a little bit there, but before we get into the nitty gritty, can you share with our listeners what omnichannel strategies are and how AI plays a role?
Yeah, omnichannel strategies, it really refers to the practice of providing a seamless and consistent customer experience across multiple channels and multiple touch points. This includes all of your online and offline channels like your website, mobile applications, your social media footprint, physical stores if you have them, as well as all of your customer service centers. Now, where AI plays a significant role is enabling these omnichannel strategies to provide the ability to analyze large amounts of customer data and then deliver a personalized experience to your customers. Things like today we have AI-powered chatbots, virtual assistants, all those recommendation engines you can see, they're really providing customers with instant support, guidance, and improving that overall customer experience. One other thing is AI also helps in optimizing these strategies for omnichannel by providing insights into customer behavior. It also surfaces different customer preferences and trends that they're seeing. So this data can be used to develop targeted marketing campaigns for your team, improve product offerings and recommendations to upsell on current purchases, as well as just, again, enhance the overall customer service for your company. So I really think AI plays a critical role in implementing and optimizing your overall omnichannel strategy. And really just at the end of the day, you want to improve customer experience and have consistency across all of those channels.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, I can definitely understand how AI could be so useful for like that personalization, as you said, and just improving customer experience. And I'd also be curious to know, like, what are some of the best practices of training and empowering sales teams to effectively communicate with customers across all channels?
Well, effective communication with customers is super essential for sales teams in general. I mean, especially the sales teams that have aspirational goals, they want to achieve them. So I put together like a short list of some of the best practices when you think about empowering sales teams to communicate effectively. First off, most importantly, every salesperson needs to understand what your customer persona is. And this is something that's pretty straightforward. Sales teams need to understand what their customer needs, what their preferences are, what their common behaviors are. And ultimately, this will help the sales team create targeted messages that ultimately resonate with the customers, increase the overall chance of conversion. And then at the end of the day, also build a better relationship for the long-term engagement between your brand and the customer. The second thing is consistency in messaging. You know, the reality is you have so many different channels of how you engage with customers, especially now. with omni-channel strategies, talking about even adding in more channels like the SMS and mobile channels. Sales teams really need to ensure that no matter which channel they're engaging with a customer, online, in person, at a conference, that they're consistent, that messaging needs to be on point, targeted to that buyer, consistent for all, because again, that's a reflection on the brand and a reflection on your persona in the long term, right? How consistent you are and providing that same valuable message. The third thing, which I'm sure people have heard and read about a lot, is active listening. Salespeople have the problem of showing up and throwing up, right? They come and they just regurgitate everything possibly that they know about themselves, and they talk about themselves and their brand and their products and their services. But the reality is, like, active listening to the customer is a very vital skill that a superior sales team must master. Listening to customers helps ultimately to understand their needs, their pain points. You're going to pick up on little indicators in their way they say things, the way they answer the questions they ask you, that really will give you more ammunition into targeting and sharpening your value proposition, even more specifically for whatever product or service they're looking for. So listening can really help sales teams create these tailored solutions and then ultimately build rapport with the customers. And then just a couple more best practices that I listed out: use of technology, right? There's so many cool technologies out there today. So sales teams, businesses should even look at these technologies to help train to improve your team's communication skills. Empowerment. I always like sales teams that are empowered to take their own decisions into their own hands that really benefit the customer. This could be simple things like offering discounts or making other product recommendations that would help build trust by, you know, it may not be what the business wants you to sell at this exact moment, but it's a way to get in the door or show the customer that you're really thinking as a solution seller what they want to buy. And then ultimately, my last best practice recommendation is always to be personalized. It doesn't matter what you're selling. The customer wants to have a personalized experience, right? They want to feel like you understand them, you understand their needs, and what you're offering them is a perfect fit for them and their scenario. You can't just come in with this cookie cutter generic offering. You need to personalize it through the communication that you do, how you address them. Yes, you should speak their name. That's a common thing that empowers salespeople, but also don't be that used car salesman that after every sentence says, you know, I fully understand what you're talking about, Sean. Sean, did you know that there's 25% of people that like this? It's just too much, right? At the end of the day, be a human, be personalized, and build that brand and that relationship with your customer.
I think that's, yeah, some really solid advice you shared there. There's so much that we could go into. I personally really enjoyed what you said when you were speaking about active listening, because I think that that's a skill that's just so important across all areas of life. I mean, even when it comes to your personal relationships with friends, with your partner, it's so rare that people actually are able to pay full attention. And that's something which I think that I've developed a little bit more through podcasting, just because it's so essential through these conversations, but it's definitely such an undervalued skill. So I really love the fact that you brought that up. And I did want to ask you as well, like, how can listeners measure the effectiveness of omnichannel communications and track ROI?
Well, I mean, measuring effectiveness, obviously, it's always tricky. I like to explain it as like a whole journey, because sometimes people want to just go right to like, what's the ROI? How do we, you know, but it's how do we get there? That's actually really important. And understanding like, why are we measuring this ROI? So for me, the first thing you need to do is really define your goals. The first step overall just is define them. What are you trying to achieve with these communications, with this strategy? Are you looking to increase brand awareness generically? Are you looking to generate leads, drive sales, or are you just looking for improving your customer satisfaction? I mean, each of those whys are what drives what ROI is important and how to measure it. So then that would be number two, track your metrics, right? So once you've defined your goals, figure out what is the most relevant metrics to those goals. For example, if you said you're going to try to generate more leads, well, obviously, like, you want to track the number of leads generated, but let's do it each channel independently. Then the conversion rates of those leads, what are the costs to convert each of those leads or to acquire those leads. And then at the end of the day, being able to track and measure the effectiveness of each of those channels helps you understand what you need to improve on or where you need to invest more in. If you're trying to drive sales, for example, maybe it's the revenue, but it's also the cost, because sometimes certain channels may bring in higher revenue than other channels, but at a significantly higher cost. And so then again, what is the reason you're trying to drive this revenue? Is it just pure top line revenue, or is it margin? Is it diversification of product revenue? So again, track those metrics and then use analytics. There's so many tools out there. I mean, super high level Google Analytics, bringing in, you know, traffic, website and user behavior metrics, social media analytics tools, helping you track engagement and your reach. Obviously everybody uses CRMs today to track customer interactions and being able, again, to see the differences between the channels. And then once you get these channels up and running and you're set to measure the performance, conduct A/B testing, right? This is just like on the development side of a tech company. You want to try two different models, two different messages, two versions of communication, and figure out which is performing better. You can test, you know, like SDRs, they test different subject lines in their email campaigns, just to see which generates more opens, more clicks, more responses. It doesn't matter what channel we're talking about. The idea is you need to optimize your communications, and then ultimately you'll improve the ROI. And so by doing A/B testing, you can see which one's the champion and which one's the challenger and not performing as well. Iterate on the challenger one, bring in a new A/B test, and compare it to the existing champion, and continue to iterate. And that's going to help you maximize your ROI. And then, of course, at the end of the day, ROI is important, but it all has to tie back to the why that we started this, because then you can optimize accordingly. And you know, that's just high level recommendations that I would put in place.
No, I think that makes absolute sense. And to be honest, yeah, I feel that we are so lucky to be alive today in a state where we have so many tools at our disposal to, in order to track all of this. So I feel very blessed, and it's great speaking with you, because it's quite clear that you have such a solid understanding of sales. And on that topic, I understand that you co-host and created the podcast, The Two Sales Guys. Can you share briefly what the show is about and what are some memorable episodes of the show so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, The Two Sales Guys podcast really started out of a buddy of mine, Matt Sopier, is my co-host. He and I have been longtime friends, longtime colleagues. We've been through multiple acquisitions together. He and I just felt like salespeople are in like a really difficult role. Like their compensation is highly dependent on their success, right? They are betting on themselves in most cases. At the same time, the company is always put but this tremendous amount of stress perform with these super, super trackable, you know, numbers. You have a target, it's on your back, and it's the usual, hey, congratulations, you hit your number. So now next year we're giving you an even bigger number. Or you didn't hit your number and you're fired. Like, it's super, super extremes. And so the concept behind the Two Sales Guys podcast was, one, just to share, you know, stories, like war stories that we've been through, to let all the salespeople out, no matter what type of role you're in, you know, a junior SDR all the way up through the most senior experienced seller, everybody goes through very similar experiences when it comes to the highs and lows of sales, the pressures of sales, the stress that's involved. And so we wanted to have people realize, like, there's other people out there, there's a huge community of salespeople going through the same thing. And we wanted to, one, give some anecdotes as to how we handled those and how we made it through them, how we overcame some of those tough situations. But number two is the dark side of sales that they don't talk about is that there's a mental health and all the negatives that come out of the lows of being in sales. So the second part of the show is just really about the negatives that happen from being in so much stress and being in these tough situations. A lot of salespeople end up having all that pressure and everything build up because they don't have a release, and it ultimately manifests in some really dark negative way. A lot of cases, it's drugs and alcohol. It's, you know, a lot of bad vices. It's, you know, partying too much. And then there's other ones that are even more extreme, burnout, where they do things that they wouldn't normally do, extreme, you know, gambling or being out. It hurts their relationships. It hurts their personal situation. So the idea was we wanted to bring in some experts that could help, again, create little stress relief steps throughout the daily, you know, experience as a salesperson. Help them to manage the stress, get that little stress relief so they don't end up having these manifestations of this huge blowout. So just like a highlight that I have off the top of my head, I mean, we've talked with performance coaches for Olympic athletes. We had talked to an NFL, this is actually my favorite episode, was with Gary Frazier. He's a performance coach for a lot of NFL players and other athletes as well. And he talks a lot about some of the different techniques that he gets into, because when you're in the NFL, every single game, because there's only so many games and it's such a short career span, you have to perform at your highest. And so, of course, you come off the field and there's immediately like, oh, I messed up on that play, or oh, we lost the game. Like, and you're on yourself. There's a phrase I'm forgetting off the top of my head now, but it's about that recovery period. How do you get from that loss, that mistake play, and bounce back and be able to perform on the very next play? That shortening down that time of responding is critical to success at such a high level. I mean, you're the 1% of the 1%. So when you think about sales, athletic stuff a lot of times translates into sales, in my opinion. There's a lot of former athletes that are salespeople as well. You're under all this pressure. You just lost the deal, and now you got to pick up the phone and get on the next call with somebody that you need to win the deal. What can you do to shorten that recovery period to be at your highest performance? What can you do to get over that loss? What can you learn from that loss to not make the same mistake twice, or to avoid running down that same path? So it was a really, really super interesting episode. And we've had psychologists on the show talking about breathing techniques and other stress relieving techniques, chiropractors. Like, it's been a really a podcast of passion and love, because it's super close to me in terms of helping myself and my co-host. Like, we put a lot of these things into practice ourselves. It's been great.
Yeah, I completely get that. I actually worked in quite a high pressure sales job after I graduated university. And I can honestly say there are some aspects of it that I love, but for the majority of it, there's, like you said, a lot of really, really difficult moments and difficult times that you go through. I have
definitely,
to say,
mm-hmm. Sorry, I was going to say, you definitely have to like sales or be really good at sales to like stick with it for long term, you know?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's not, not for everybody. That's for
sure. Yeah. And I kind of came to that conclusion. There are many aspects of sales that I like, but fortunately I found podcasting, and that's something that I really do enjoy. And I'm kind of interested to know, in your opinion, would you be able to share like some steps that you've taken to grow the show and advice that you would be able to give to listeners who are considering starting their own podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is to find a subject or a category that like you're super passionate about. I mean, you can tell through the conversations you have on the podcast when people are genuinely like engaged in the content, because then the listeners are going to be engaged. If it's, you know, anything you're just putting on for a show, like it's not gonna go very far. In terms of how I got started, how we got the show to grow, there's a lot of cool tools out there for like promoting podcasts. I forget some of the tools that we use, but they will publish it, you know, onto all the major platforms so that your content's where it needs to be. And then you can have an automated marketing tool that pushes out to all the social channels like TikTok and Instagram ads, and obviously posting on YouTube and Facebook, et cetera. It's really just, again, about having content that people want to listen to, being a genuine host and being engaged in something that you're passionate about. And I think it's great. I love the conversations we've had, and I've taken so many things away from it on a personal level. And I've had quite a few people reach out to me to tell me about the different episodes to listen to and what they like and what they took away from it. So I encourage everybody to give it a shot if they like it.
I would definitely recommend the same. I have had so many amazing conversations through podcasting and hosting my own podcast. And I really would suggest that people go check out your podcast. We're going to have a link to it in the show notes. But otherwise, Sean, if people do want to keep up with you and the work you're doing, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time I'm just active on LinkedIn. You can just search me up, Sean Whitley, on LinkedIn. And I'm always posting content about how we're working with companies with the whole, you know, global communications, omni-channel strategies, the latest, you know, industry news related to e-commerce and retail and all the different trends that we're seeing in the space. that's where I post most of my content. And you can always message me on there. I'm, you know, pretty active where if I'm available, I'll do my best to respond back. I do get a million sellers trying to sell me stuff all the time, so I have to weed through that. But you know, that's probably the best location to get in touch with me.
Fantastic. We'll have a link to that as well. By the way, Sean, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, thanks for having me. I do appreciate it. It's been great.
Growing a company has many hurdles, from securing funding to expanding your business capabilities to ranking better on search. Each business challenge is uniquely complex. The solution to these challenges is growth-focused digital PR and marketing, and that is where our sponsor, Publicize, comes in. Publicize sets itself apart from traditional PR companies. It does not charge large retainers or churns out press releases, whether you've got a newsworthy announcement or not. Publicize builds businesses' online presence and gets high-quality PR and media coverage for startups and entrepreneurs who are priced out of a broken PR industry. What's more, listeners of Brainspike Back can find the tools and resources they need to overcome common hurdles that many startups face when trying to generate long-term growth by visiting publicize.co/BBB. That's publicize.co/BBB. That is it for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. I hope you've learned something, and if you have benefited from today's episode, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, as these reviews really help us grow the show. You can also follow us wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. Just search Brainspike Back and you will find us. We hope you join us for more episodes in the future, and until then, take care. Disclosure: this episode contained a client and Aspasio portfolio company.